A few weeks ago, we introduced a new series on the connections between healthcare and violence in local communities. Last time we heard the story of Freddie Centeno, a mentally ill Fresno man who was shot and killed by police. His case is an extreme example, but the links between mental and physical health and violence can be seen in more subtle ways, too. Now, some people are comparing violence in the Valley with a well-known condition often connected with soldiers who have gone off to war. Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess reports.
Joey Williams has spent nearly his entire life living in East Bakersfield. In that time, he says he's seen the impact of persistent violence in his community. In fact, he says he himself has felt it during run-ins with local police.
You know, that we have communities that are perpetually traumatized, like myself, who at 15 was, you know, a victim of brutality.
Williams says the incident has stuck with him and made him anxious and suspicious. And he says it's not just him.
Because there's so many other people who are affected by this. You know, it's not just people that are perceived to be gang members or who they call thugs, you know. It's, you know, grandmothers, fathers, you know, people who are everyday folks.
As a result, he says people feel abandoned, trapped, and helpless.
There's no jobs. There's no access to education to go to college for folks. People have relegated to selling drugs and the hustling in the streets. That definitely does create a dangerous environment.
William says for many, there's a depressing lesson learned from seeing and growing up around violence. You are less than another person. What Williams is describing, depression, drug use, aggressive behavior, are all symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Researchers even have a new name for it, toxic stress. Williams agrees, but puts his own spin on the concept.
I call it present traumatic stress disorder, because when you have post-traumatic stress disorder, that means that the trauma has ended. With our people, it's a perpetual trauma that's inflicted almost on a daily basis.
According to researchers, along with the other symptoms, toxic stress and PTSD can lead to sleeplessness, anxiety, depression, and flashbacks. In children, the effects can negatively affect their development. Researchers are finding that people who live in violent areas are having the same symptoms as soldiers who've been to war overseas. Gloria Hernandez is an organizer and mental health advocate who lives and works in Southeast Fresno. She says even for someone like her, who works to help members of her community, its health effects are unavoidable.
For example, if there's a drive-by next door, or the officers are beating up somebody and I witness it, I'm not going to sleep all night. I'm going to be all scared they're going to come back, you know? And so it stresses you out. If I live in the barrio, and I do, I see it all the time.
Hernandez says the effects start in children and continue into adulthood. And many people don't know what to do to find proper health care.
The problem is accessing the services. And a lot of them is it has to be voluntarily. And a lot of people don't have the insight to go and get volunteer services.
It has been a very depressing life to live in this community here.
That's Pastor Floyd Harris, who runs a church in Southwest Fresno. Harris says for many people, the threat of violence is constant and exhausting. For him, one incident sticks out, being pulled over by police with his two young kids in the back seat of his car.
Pulled over by a cop to be looking down a barrel of a gun, that's just post-traumatic stress itself. Looking down a barrel of a gun and your family's in a car, I mean, who goes through that and you normal?
Like Hernandez and Williams, Harris describes symptoms that resemble PTSD, especially with his children who were very upset by the run-in.
That's not healthy. And so when we see something that's not healthy, then it's our obligation to fix it, get it some medicine, take it to the doctor, diagnose it.
Williams, Hernandez, and Harris all voiced a similar concern, that there's not enough resources for mental health care for people living in violent or underserved communities. Still, it's not entirely fair to say the healthcare system has abandoned these communities. As we previously reported, Kern County spends around $160 million of public money on mental health care. The number is even higher in Fresno County, close to $200 million. The county employs roughly 600 various mental health care professionals. Dwan Utecht, with the Fresno County Department of Behavioral Health, says they are changing their focus to address and understand the negative mental health consequences of toxic stress.
Definitely, I would say in the last decade or so, there's been a heightened understanding of the role in trauma in the development of a number of mental illnesses, as well as what we call emotional disturbances in children.
The comparison to PTSD, UTEC says, is uncomfortable when thinking about American cities, but not all that far off. She says they've changed their approach to responding to trauma to try and be closer to the front lines and less stuck in their offices. It's far easier and cheaper, she says, to treat people early before they develop more extensive and expensive problems as an adult. But UTEC also acknowledges there's a social stigma against treatment in some marginalized communities.
Trying to break down those barriers and break down the resistance and the stigma to seeking services, but also being open to the concept that if you don't take the services where people are, you're likely not going to make it comfortable for them.
For example, the department is considering using unmarked cars so as not to draw attention to their clients in tight-knit or rural towns, or allying with culturally sensitive locals to act as liaisons. Gloria Hernandez is one of the people they work with. And they're not the only ones trying to bring services to traumatized people. Ken Katz oversees a new program at American Ambulance in Fresno County that specifically trains EMTs and paramedics to respond to mental health crisis in the field. Katz says they work in conjunction with police during a call, but are often in better position to help a person find the care they need rather than winding up in jail.
Maybe even potentially release at the scene with a safety plan. Maybe take them someplace other than a hospital. Maybe taking them to see that we, in talking to the patient, we discover that they've missed their last appointment with their psychiatrist. Maybe we can call the psychiatrist and we can get them in. Maybe we'll take them there instead.
And the number of encounters paramedics have is somewhat astounding. Over the course of a year, they respond to an average of 24 behavioral health calls every 24 hours. One of those specifically trained EMTs is Robert Wankel. He says the program is already working, telling the story of one homeless drug-addicted woman who he helped get into a drug treatment program.
I gave 8 minutes of my life to this woman to protect herself and also to give her option of opportunity. That's priceless. That is what this community needs for people who are in need of help.
But for Joey Williams, new efforts are too little too late. He references the parable of the Good Samaritan, saying he would rather address the cause of the trauma rather than just treat its symptoms.
Do we want to set up a clinic right there so that everyone who's beaten and robbed can get fixed at the clinic? Or do we want to repair the road and organize to make it more safe?
And addressing the causes of trauma could help more than just the people who live there. The police officers who patrol are not immune to the consequences of seeing or being involved in violent encounters. We will look at the personal effect on officers and what's being done to help them in the next part of our series. For Valley Public Radio News, I'm Jeffrey Hess.
This report was produced as a project for the California Health Journalism Fellowship, a program of the Center for Health Journalism at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. This is Valley Edition.